to continue study of the book of Esther. Turn to Esther chapter 6. Last week we looked at the first three or four verses, first three verses, and the king had royal insomnia, called for the Chronicles to be read, and it just so happened that the very portion they read was about the heroics of Mordecai, and the king learned that he had never been rewarded for that deed, and it had been 5 or 6 years since the event occurred, and Mordecai had never been publicly recognized. And so that's where we're at in the narrative. Okay. Now today we're going to look at Haman's humiliation and Mordecai's exaltation. It says in verse 4, "And the king said, who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Haman comes early to the palace for the express purpose of asking permission from the king to execute Mordecai on the gallows that his wife and family had suggested be built. You'll remember that that brought great joy to the heart of wicked Haman, so he ordered that the gallows be built. And the king knew nothing at all about the quarrel between Mordecai and Haman, the enmity that existed between these two men. Haman wasted no time in carrying out the plans that he and his family and friends had made the day before. This is how much he hated Mordecai. And I think it tells you something about the wickedness of men. Those who practice wickedness are swift in their execution of their plans of sin and murder and hatred. Well, Haman is invited. The king says, who's here? I want to run this by him. What can we do for the guy that did this heroic deed? Verse 5. "And the king's servant said unto him," because the king said, who's in the court? "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in. "And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" I don't know why I relish this so much. Haman is invited into the king's bedchamber. Now you have to understand something here. Haman knew nothing at all about the king's restless night or the king's intention to honor Mordecai. Haman thinks all is well, that everything's hunky-dory. He is about to be exalted and promoted by Queen Esther, He's already second in command throughout the whole kingdom. And the king then asks, this is all going through the mind of Haman. He asks Haman, the prime minister, and the right-hand man, what should be done to the man in whom he was delighted to honor? At that precise moment, the question of the king must have filled the heart of Haman with immeasurable delight. And he didn't even stop to ask, well, who could it be? He immediately thought, he's talking about me. Who else could it be? I'm the greatest in the kingdom. And he's finally going to recognize just how wonderful and smart and able and brave and courageous and powerful and popular that I am. Who else could there be? I can almost envision his eyes lighting up with expectation and a big satisfied smile coming over his face. And as the king asked the question, you can almost imagine the excitement that was filling Haman's heart and mind. He presumed the king was referring to him. After all, he was a legend in his own mind. You know? He was, in his eyes, in his mind, he was the grandest and most important person in the kingdom. It tells you something about Haman. He was drunk with worldly glory. He was lusting for more prestige, position, and honor from the king. And you know, as I get to this point in the account, this historical account, I can't help but believe that God must, in some thing that I don't fully comprehend, God must have a holy sense of humor. Because this is quite the setup, you know. I mean, it reminds me of the times when my mother would catch me in something. And she knew what I had done and what I'd lied about. And I had no idea that she knew. She had already done her investigation. And I come into the queen's, you know, the queen's house, and she asked the question, well, what'd you do last night? Where were you? What'd you do? Where'd you go? I'd make some story up. And then I'd see her eyes just flash. And then she'd recount everything she had done, all the investigation, people that she had called, told me where I was, what time, and so on. Next step was being hung on the gallows. It reminds me of that feeling that overwhelmed me when my mother caught me. And I'm so sorry that I did that to my mother, but she was like it was uncanny how she just knew everything. But anyway, Haman thought he was setting himself up for a pompous ride through the streets when in reality, he was about to be humiliated in the streets of Shushan. Daniel 4:37 says, "And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Verse 7, "And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the Lord delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. He has no idea that he is setting himself up as the one that leads about the king's horse, telling everybody how wonderful and great and honorable Mordecai was. Haman, in these verses, suggests that the highest privileges be granted to the man in whom the king delighted to honor. And that included clothing the man in the king's royal apparel, and that was something that was not ordinarily done by Persian monarchs. Basically saying, well, I think you ought to give him the king's clothes, let him wear it for a day. Haman also suggested that the king's crown be placed on his head, and the king's horse be ridden by the man through the streets of the capital city. Haman wanted everyone in the city to view the man whom the king delighted to honor. I can't help but think what the king must have been thinking at this point. Well, yeah, this guy's just, he's a Jew. He's thinking about the man. He already knows he's going to exalt Mordecai. A person of very little significance in the kingdom, in the grand scheme of things. You know? So the king's probably thinking, wow, that's a lot for this little guy. Yeah, he did save my life, but you know, you're wanting to just make him like the king. Well, then the king surprises Haman. Verse 10. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. All right, can you hear his voice going through the palace? Mordecai the Jew. That's probably how it sounded to Haman. And then after that, probably everything was like a Charlie Brown teacher voice. He didn't hear nothing from then on, you know. After he heard, I want you to honor Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. The king surprises Haman by commanding him to honor the person that he hated the most in the entire world. There was no one that Haman despised more than Mordecai the Jew. Can you imagine the rush of emotions that must have raced through the heart of Haman? I mean, just moments before, he had visions of sugar plums dancing in his head. I mean, he's in his mind, he sees himself riding through the streets of the city, waving to all the constituents, I'm the man that the king has exalted Everybody take a good look at me. This is all going through his mind. He's the one that thought he was going to majestically ride through the streets of Shushan in that royal apparel and on the king's steed. And now, with this one sentence from the king, now he must honor the man who he thought would be impaled or hung from the gallows that very day. Haman wanted to hang Mordecai, not honor him. He wanted to strip him of his clothes, not clothe him with royal apparel. He wanted to dance on his grave, not help him get on the king's horse. He wanted to prepare a tree for him, not a triumph. He wanted to make Mordecai cry for mercy, not to have to cry out in his defense and honor. How quickly are situations reversed? The vain pride of Haman was snapped like a reed in the wind. In just one moment, he had fallen from the highest place of honor to the lowest degree of degradation and disgrace. And it is a striking illustration of Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You might, when you read your devotions, and you run across Proverbs 16:18, you might want to put Haman in there when you write that in as an illustration. Mordecai's exaltation was Haman's humiliation. And can you imagine the thoughts of both of these men as they went through the streets of Shushan? And it tells you that God can bring about the most unlikely situations. His ways are high above our ways. H.D. Kennedy said, "Could anything be more opposite than the feelings of these two men as they marched through the streets that morning? Haman was vexed and stung to the very quick, while Mordecai's heart would be overflowing with gratitude and praise to God. All this to him was the cloud, the size of a man's hand, the earnest of God's deliverance. All was plain to Mordecai. If this could occur, anything could." And I can't help but think that as Mordecai rode through the streets, clothed in royal apparel on the king's finest horse, he must have been thinking and delighting himself in the Word of God. Psalm 37:1-3 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And then Jeremiah 17:5-8. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. We'll stop there today. We're dismissed.